Welcome to the Striving Together podcast, a podcast for the Imago Dei church family to help us follow Jesus together in the grace of his gospel. My name is Shane Shaddix. I have the privilege of serving as the discipleship pastor here at IDC, and I am joined by two other of our pastors, Manny Prieto and Walter Strickland. Manny, Walter, thank you guys for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The topic on the table is, broadly speaking, Sabbath. So I want to talk about something, a theme that is very dominant in the scriptures, this idea of a Sabbath rest. It really jumps onto the pages of scripture in Genesis chapter 1 and then is kind of carried through after that all the way really until the book of Revelation is this theme that pops up. But one of the questions that Christians and New Covenant Christians have to wrestle with sometimes is what does it look like for me to apply, understand, live in this reality of Sabbath rest while taking seriously the commands of the Old Testament? And so I just want us to talk around that a little bit today and help the IDC family think about what it looks like for us to be a people who rest well, who Sabbath well, while at the same time resting in the gospel and not in our works or anything like that. So let me kick it over to you, Walter, first, and just kind of give us a quick, like, what is the Sabbath and why is it important?
Yeah, so in the law, even in the Ten Commandments, the Lord asks his people to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Mm-hmm. And so it's this, you know, if we think about the law in general, it's basically God revealing himself to his people and saying, this is how you love me and love others. Mm. And in doing that, you'll be this sort of people living in contrast to everyone who lives around you, just bearing witness to my character and the way in which I designed you.
Yeah.
And so God instituted the law with all of that in mind. And so, now we look back at the Old Testament and we see that there's good there.
Right.
And there's some debates about if we should uphold that or not. But at the same time, you know, I think there's a lot that's teachable there for us in the law that's instructive, that guides us into how we should even live today.
Yeah, that's good. And so as you're saying, kind of the roots of this, the anchor of this in the Old Testament, and I think the strictest kind of clear commands to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy are in the Old Testament, given to the Old Testament, God's covenant people, Israel. To what extent should we still see, I mean, you kind of begin to answer this, but let's tease this out. To what extent is the Sabbath still relevant for us today? So Manny, when you're looking at the New Testament and New Testament believers, you don't have to unpack a total kind of biblical theology of Sabbath, but do you think even just the principle is still relevant for us today? And if so, how?
Absolutely not.
No. Okay.
No, yes.
Next.
check. I do think it still applies as you read through the scriptures and even seeing how Jesus handles the Pharisees, you know, who have objection to what he does or does not do on the Sabbath. It does not seem to me that he is just kicking the Sabbath out the door and saying that's old stuff, but rather that he proclaims that the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around, right? And so I do think that there's a principle there for us in the New Covenant. Right? In the Sabbath, right? To observe it in a way that is not bound in legalism, as the Pharisees did, that is not seeking to suck the life out of a day or a time, but rather to really enjoy the Lord for all that he's accomplished for us. Mm-hmm. I think that's the spirit of the Sabbath, right? Like actually getting to worship Jesus, the one who has done all these things, Hebrews 3 and 4, like He's that Sabbath rest, and we strive to enter into it. Like, I think the Sabbath is pointing us to enjoying Jesus in a way that is kind of revolutionary. And it was revolutionary, I think, in the Old Testament. I think it's revolutionary even today for different reasons.
Yeah, that's good. And then maybe to do our Bible arc, kind of carry it all the way through, Walter, bring it home for us. How do we, when we look kind of towards the future, how does Sabbath rest kind of help us understand kind of the consummation of all things? Like, how would you connect those two things?
Yeah. You know, it's so in light of the ark, you know, starting at the, even before the law and the institution of it, we see God resting in, was it Genesis 2, verse 3? You know, on that seventh day, he rested. And so we will do, in a sense, what he did. He celebrated the completeness of his being and the completeness of what he created, the fact that it was finished in the sense that God had created everything and it was well, you know, shalom marked all of creation. And so when we look at the biblical arc, when God created, you know, on that last day, you know, he was just super content to like rest in the fact that like he was enough and what he created was full and rich. And so we see the destruction of all that with, you know, the fall. We see the beginning of God like doing something in the Old Testament, and all, you know, certainly with Jesus, you know, being in his death and resurrection, being that which is the catalyst for restoration. And then we see it full on in the kingdom. So as Manny was saying, we're going to be able to celebrate all that's rich and good and wonderful, which is worship. We ourselves will be whole. The all that God created will be restored. And I think that's like, and even in our doing, we're not doing to be accepted. We're not doing that's to good. Be to fulfill anything in us that we think we lack. And so even in our like, just because there's Sabbath, that doesn't mean that work is bad.
It's good,
It's we'll have an appropriate understanding of work so that we can actually stop it. And it's okay, and it's good. And so, you know, I look forward to that day, you know, because I think that there's a lot going on in our culture. There's a lot going on with our identity that is wrapped up in work, which doesn't allow us to Sabbath. Or as we were saying before, this Shabbat, you know, because that's what we
henceforth Shabbat.
Man was saying that we had to say that at least once. But yeah, I think that's the arc in the scripture that I'm looking forward to seeing come to fruition.
Right. And I think that kind of raises the question. So it's almost like Sabbath good from the beginning, and looking at this like eternal state of Sabbath and rest in the Lord and the fulfillment and culmination of His kingdom. But we're kind of in this, you know, between times here, and so let's talk about our following of Jesus now. What does it look like for us as new covenant Christians who do not have to uphold the Old Testament law for Israel in the same, you know, especially in the same way that they did? What does it look like for us to learn from, reflect, embody that kind of kingdom value and kind of ethos now, as we follow Jesus in the here and now? So let's get really practical. How can we manifest Sabbath rest in our lives and our rhythms today? Manny, why don't you get us started with this?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So kind of the way that I thought about this, and I can share some of the history in a minute, but the way that I thought about it was, what is the Sabbath trying to accomplish? If I am not required to observe a strict Sabbath, but I want to observe the principle of it, right? Like I want to glean the benefits of a day set apart for the Lord. What is it going to accomplish? What am I trying to shoot for, really? And the thing that jumped out at me from, you know, the scripture is like, the Sabbath is a day set apart for the Lord, right? And so it's a day meant to enjoy the Lord, a day holy to the Lord. And so, you know, like thinking through in Ezekiel, when the Lord has charges against Israel, you know, why did this destruction befall? And the answer, among the answers, is you profane the Sabbath, you know, and the profaning of the Sabbath leads to idolatry. And it's like, oh, okay, like there's a thread there, right? Like failing to stop and enjoy the Lord because he's creator, because he's provider, because he's rescuer, all these things inevitably leads us to put our trust elsewhere and become idolatrous people. And so working backward from there, like, okay, so what am I going to do on a Sabbath? You know, what's that going to look like? I think the guiding principle for me has been, I want to find ways to enjoy the Lord that this rhythm of breaking from my work allows me to do that. And so I tend to think of spiritual rhythms on a daily level, on a weekly level, monthly, so on and so forth. And so daily, I'm trying to be in the Word and in prayer regularly. And I think, as many of us, there are days where like, wow, I've seen the glory of the Lord, and there are days where like, that was not great. You know, I did a thing.
Yeah. That's right.
But taking a Sabbath allows me time to actually do that in a different way. And so that's been the thread for me, honestly, yeah. Just saying, how can I actually do this in a way that is different from what I can squeeze in sometimes on a Monday through Friday,
yeah.
And enjoy the Lord in a unique way that kind of expands on that, that honestly expands my palate for how good God is. So that the rest of the week also has a God flavor
that's
to
good.
It, you know?
That's really good.
And so that's kind of been the guiding principle. There's yeah. all kinds of particulars. I can give you my top 10 tips of things that really work and things that don't. things that I've changed my mind about.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's been the thread, you know, undergirding all of it.
Yeah, that's really good. And just to be clear, you try to, on a weekly basis, have mm-hmm. a day-ish
yes.
set aside as mm-hmm. this kind of rhythm of rest.
Yeah.
Walter, do you have a similar kind of rhythm, effort at least, at trying to rest regularly?
I appreciate you adding effort in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we do.
Okay.
And I say that in a way that's saying like we're getting better at
yeah.
this. You know, we really have tried to keep Saturday as a day of just things that are restorative.
Okay.
Physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know, I think. What I can add to what Manny has said, you know, even the work of having to carve out that time specifically. So
yeah.
getting things done on Friday, you know, basically on every other day
sure.
that we are not just sort of leaving everything for that day.
Yeah.
Even Stephanie, there's things that she does on that used to be done on Saturday, now done on Monday, to clear space for
yeah.
that. And so, so that's been super helpful for us. You know, for me, it's been even trying to figure out what is, you know, restorative for me. I work with my mind so much.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's nice to work with my hands on Saturdays for me.
Right.
You know, there's days where I do more of it than others. But I find out days before I preach, I'm usually always in the backyard, like doing something, just kind of resting and enjoying creation, moving earth around, like digging things up in the backyard.
Getting stung by wasps.
yeah, seriously. Getting stung by wasps. That was January 1st.
Last year.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah, yeah, it was the last day, New Year's Eve of last year.
Oh, wow.
However that works. And so, yeah, the first Sunday of this past year, I was, you know.
Swollen.
Yeah. There's a lot wrong with me that day. So to God be the glory that
that's good.
Good work, like a sermon came out. But yeah, so that's what we try to do. Like things, trying to enjoy things that are not productive.
Yeah.
Because it's a reminder that we are not our productivity.
That's good.
And so that for me was something that I needed to remind myself of, because a lot of my life had revolved around doing things to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
But even on that seventh day of creation, God demonstrated that his being
yeah.
to be good is not productivity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so just existing for God, and then us mm-hmm. like knowing the existence of God
yeah.
and seeing that as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, as I'm trying to, there's practices that I have tried to
that's good.
Establish to sort of embody that.
I just want to kind of chase that down for a second, because it's worth us thinking about why is this so hard for mm-hmm. for us? You know, we can, as the three of us, can probably confess this is challenging, but then us more broadly, our culture, our church, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think what you just hit on is part of it, is we unintentionally put so much of our worth and value in what we can produce
mm-hmm.
and what we can perform. And so it really is grating for someone to say, no, stop. And then if someone tells me that, it's like, well, then what, not just like, what do I do? Like, what am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could tell me if you guys disagree with this, but that in part is some of the value in having rhythms of rest, is to kind of force you to kind of confront this, mm-hmm. that kind of gut check moment where you're sitting there going, well, then what am I even worth? And it's like, no, okay, you need to like lean, yeah. not lean into it, and, but like press into that or mm-hmm. whatever. Any other, you can chase that down, or you can tell us other things that you think, other reasons why you think that practicing regular rhythms of rest are particularly challenged for, whether you personally or people in general, other things that come to mind?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, man. Yeah, that's something I've thought a good bit about, because I found myself wrestling with why is it so hard to, quote unquote, take a break, you know? And I think the reality for me is that, yeah, what you said is exactly right. I have built so much identity and value into what I do, that if I am not being useful, then perhaps I don't have a reason for being, yep. you know, like, what am I even doing here? I'm just occupying space. Mm-hmm. And this past year, since taking my sabbatical, one of the things that I feel like the Lord has been trying to teach me, but it's hard to teach me because I'm very hard-headed, is like, I just don't see that scripturally or in creation that that's what the Lord is like, that he is just trying to extract usefulness out of his creation. In fact, so much testifies to the contrary. You know, he could have snapped his fingers and all of redemptive history been accomplished and done. And here we are living through it, you know. It feels like, is he not in a hurry? You know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but why are you not in a hurry? And you look outside and he's created nature and human beings in ways that's like, it probably would have been more practical to do some other things, but he chose beauty. He chose process. He chose, you know, like taking a delight in that. I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe God isn't just looking at me thinking, when are you going to be more productive? Mm. But maybe he can just delight in me because he made me with all my intricacies and weirdness and all of that. And maybe he actually enjoys that. And the Sabbath has forced me to confront that and say, oh, wait, like, I think I'm just believing other voices that aren't the Lord's voice, right? Yeah. What he said is good in creation, in me, and like because of what he's done in Christ. I'm just believing other voices. Yeah. And the Sabbath has been an opportunity to like sit alone in silence and, you know, wrestle with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a scary thought. It's like, well, actually, I feel a lot better when I can just show off a to-do list that's been checked off completely.
That's good. I think that enjoyment piece is really helpful because it forces us to wrestle with and be reminded of God's like fatherly care.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have children. We all have small children, mm-hmm. and we don't approach our children that way. Mm-hmm. Like, what have you done? What product do you have at the end of today? You mm-hmm. delight in your kids because they're your kids, mm-hmm. and we're doubly His children. We're His image bearers, but we're mm-hmm. also like adopted into His family, and really getting to like just rest in that and like. Mm-hmm. Be his adopted child mm-hmm. through Christ and like recognize I bring nothing to this table and yet he still delights in me mm-hmm. because as a child is really mm-hmm. like it's very humbling because it forces us to be children, but also
mm-hmm.
Like, how sweet is that and really rescues us from that kind of performance oriented.
Well, go ahead. No,
so. And even the person who says like God is just so worthy, I just want to love and serve him and do. But that's not the right response.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The response is to do, but it's also to understand and rest in who God is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and to know that the finished work of the cross was finished without us.
That's good.
You know, that the Lord is going to come back and rule and reign on that white horse. You know, he's going to come back on that white horse and rule and reign.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require us, you know, and in our discipleship, we often focus on things we have to do.
Right.
You know, read your Bible, pray, fast.
Yeah.
Lead your spouse, do devotions with your kids, and the best of us do devotions with each one of our kids, you know, individually, mm-hmm. share the gospel with all your neighbors, and like we're serving at our kids' schools if we send them to school, you know, and every day we're like, you know, creating environments for people who are like seeking Jesus, and you know, so like the list goes on and on and on and on, and then you have to work too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, and like provide, you know, for your family or whatever it is. I mean, mm-hmm. how in the world can we do all that stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these unrealistic expectations on ourselves
mm-hmm.
when the fact of the matter is that we're accepted in Jesus
mm-hmm.
and actually resting, forcing ourselves to rest and figure that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just such a good lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
And so, in addition to that, you know, we are like, in our country, you know, we're those who are the rugged individuals who said, you know, I'm going to go out there and stake a claim for my family and I'm going to work it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to do it. And then, you know, and then we get verses like in 2 Thessalonians, like if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
And then we like run with that and mm-hmm. just say, okay, it's our excuse to work and work and work and chase the American dream, which I'm not against working. I'm not against eating. I'm not against the American dream. But at the same time, we can't pursue, we can't sort of baptize those and sort of twist scripture into justifying overwork.
Especially if it squeezes out other clear things that the Lord has called us to, which is to enjoy Him and which is to rest in Him and trust Him and realize, kind of like, as you guys have talked about, like the Lord's going to accomplish His purposes, and like it just doesn't depend on us. And that's again frustratingly, you know, humbling, but also so necessary for us to faithfully walk with Jesus.
Like when you think of our work. Why do we work, right? And so, you know, the right answer is, well, for God's glory, obviously, you know. But the reality there is, like, actually, God doesn't need us for His glory, and He's inviting us into a rest, right? Which is not a be lazy kind of thing,
right?
But it's a, I actually don't need you. I, like, my glory is my glory, period. I choose to use you for my glory. I'm also choosing to give you a break and let you enjoy that glory as my son, you know? I think what often ends up being more true is that we baptize something saying, this is for God's glory. That's why I work so hard. And it's really for our own justification.
Yeah. You know,
we're working for ourselves and just putting Jesus stickers on it.
That's good. That's good. Super helpful. I want to dig into really practical stuff just here at the end. Maybe just to level set. I think what we don't want to say as we even give these practical tips is to create a new kind of law or legalism that says, here's how this has to be done. I think, listener, I would encourage you to hear this as an exhortation to incorporate rhythms of rest in your life that are true, not just like, you know, sleep more than 5 hours a night kind of thing, although you should do that, but but also just intentionally, as these brothers have described, resting in the Lord, ceasing from or diverting from normal rhythms of productivity and output, and instead resting in the Lord, delighting in Him, kind of diverting your heart and mind towards Him in things that are both filling up, but also kind of direct your gaze to Him. So several practical things that you guys have given. First, just really specific. Do you guys think there's a specific day that you would encourage or think Christians ought to observe Sabbath rest?
I would say no.
Okay.
But I think often Christians use it as an excuse not to establish a day.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
so you said Saturday for you guys is what you guys have identified.
Yeah, we're really trying.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Manny, what about for you guys?
Yeah, we do Saturday because the Lord commands it.
Okay.
I think we've chosen a day that just makes sense for our schedule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Friday evening to Saturday evening just works for us. Cool. That's as deep as that.
No, that's good.
Reason
that's
goes.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For our family, and I'll confess, Alicia is the best driver in our household of our rhythms of rest.
We can tell,
so is Stephanie.
Okay.
She's going to listen, and she's going to wonder why I didn't say that.
That's good. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Full disclosure here. But I will say this, it's just kind of more autobiographical. This started in our family. Alicia and I had the privilege of going to visit some of our missionaries on the field and realizing that these are brothers and sisters who are in a context where everything is work, and in just a way that's different for us, because the language is different, the culture is different. Like, you'd never escape your being on as a missionary living in a foreign context. And so for them, the functionality of rhythms of rest and like resting in the Lord was just like amplified in a way that we weren't necessarily as confronted with, because I don't know, I'm always speaking English or something like that. It was helpful to kind of be confronted with that. And so seeing how Sabbath rest functioned in their life was instructive for us to realize we're not actually different. It's just we're not confronted with the fact that we're always working and performing and doing and all that. And so we came back and instituted some rhythms. And for us, I mean, you mentioned the idea of certain things that used to be done on Fridays for us aren't anymore. Alicia prepares breakfast the night before. She prepares Saturday's breakfast on Thursday night. And that way she doesn't have to do any of that on Friday. Just thinking ahead, which I think is, you know, several of you guys mentioned this idea of planning for this, planning for some time where you're saying, I'm going to intentionally avoid doing those things then. And if that means I got to double up sometime, it's worth it to do that, to kind of block off that time. Manny, you said you had some other tips, any other encouragements or practical kind of guidelines you would give to folks?
Yeah. So starting with that thread of how can I use this time to enjoy the Lord, be refreshed in the Lord, and then finding specific things to do, not the other way around. Like, let me start with the list. Things that have worked for us is prioritizing time with the family, mm-hmm. right? Family is a gift from the Lord. And as I suspect many parents of young kids feel, it's like most of the week you're just like trying to get them through your calendar, you mm-hmm. know? And this is a time to say, let's not do that. Let's spend time together. Let's be together. Some other things that have been helpful for me personally, honestly, like going on walks, like enjoying nature, you know, nature, like, you know, we
are air quotes there.
Yeah, there's yeah. air quotes. I'm from the city, you know, yeah. so nature,
big outdoors guy.
Nature for me is like, look, there's weeds coming up to the sidewalk. Yeah. So, but you know, just getting outside and enjoying, uh-huh. you know, the small glimpses of creation that you can from, you know, the suburbs of North Raleigh. Anything that allows me to take a break from being behind the computer screen, mm-hmm. You know, working on spreadsheets or whatever it is that I do during the week, and to recognize like God has made everything, you know, like He's the creator, He's the sustainer, He provides, and I just want to worship Him. And so some of that has been like poetry, you know, which I think I'm going to get like a huge return on. Like people are just going to be like, yes, poetry, give it to us. But I enjoy it, you know, and it causes me to slow down. Uh-huh. Can't read it fast. You got to read it slow. You have to reflect. And it drives me to like adoration of the Lord. Like, let me just pray in response, you know? And so a lot of time of just reflecting, like, so like silence and solitude are big, especially yep. because I have little kids. So I got to squeeze that into the mornings. But just reflecting on what the Lord has given, what He's provided, just how good He is, right? Having time to do that. It's just hard to do that when it's noisy. And yep. so,
I think, Walter, you might have something else, but I just want to highlight, going back to challenges, mm-hmm. It's not just our internal desire to perform. There's also the practicalities of yeah. like, we live in a busy society. Mm-hmm. And so there's also just this, there's just not enough time, mm-hmm. that's, which is also going to be one of those rubs that really forces us to really appreciate that time, is it's mm-hmm. worth slowing down and mm-hmm. actually, you know, cutting things out of the schedule to have times when there's nothing on the schedule yeah. would be, I mean, you talked about earlier this, Walter, the command to honor the Sabbath was in some ways to create God's people distinct. Mm-hmm. And as we walk as God's people now, that is something that will make us distinct, is saying, hey, we're going to actually squeeze out space mm-hmm. to enjoy our God and be His people and rest in Him. And so mm-hmm. I think there's a through line there to some extent. Any Certainly. Other practicalities you would give?
Yeah, you know, I think Manny mentioned this in the midst of his pointers, but just our pace is slower. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
We wake up slower.
Yeah.
We just do everything slowly because we feel like we are pushing the family through the to-dos of the week. You know, we eat, and this is a practical matter, we eat breakfast, like a brunch on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then we don't eat lunch. Okay. We just kind of snack a little
Graze
bit and then eat dinner because it's like one less meal to prepare.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do that. I mean, and I don't do the majority of the cooking. I'm like a sous chef at best some nights. And so on Saturday morning, you know, I just do breakfast, cool. you know, because that's something that, I mean, I think if I had more time, I would probably enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
But because everything's so rushed, yeah. normally I just...
Sure.
It's always like, cut the things, you know, throw them in the pan, sear them, throw them on the plates.
Right.
All right.
Let's
eat,
go.
You know, and then
wolf it down.
Yeah. Wolf it down. Get upstairs. Shower. Yeah. You know. So if when it's not that, yeah. it's actually enjoyable for me. It's great for Stephanie to yeah. have a break from that. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, just pace in general is mm-hmm. one thing that's that is a nice respite for us. Enjoying the little things yeah. is easier on that pace. Conversation comes up, space to just you know, enjoy each other
yeah.
When we're not having to rush. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. all I have to say, I mean, many already give you a bunch of ideas, but mm-hmm. That's definitely one thing, yeah. some things that we try to do.
That's good.
One I neglected to mention, but I feel like I should just because it's been helpful for me personally. Is resting from consumerism on the Sabbath. And so we're not like super religious about it. If we go to the farmer's market, we're not going to be like, sorry, can't buy apples today. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we have six other days where like we're just consuming. And I think of something that I need and I order it on Amazon and it's yeah. here before I hit submit, you know, and trying not to do that on the Sabbath and say like, I have enough,
yeah.
you know, like the Lord has not failed to provide. And so like, let's not go spend our Sabbath at the mall, you know, buying new outfits. Like we can figure out if we need clothes some other time. That's been huge for me because my heart is very consumeristic yeah. And has been discipled in consumerism from an early age,
that's
you
good.
Know? And so yeah. that's been a big one for me.
That's super helpful, and goes along honestly with the episode that'll drop next week about we're being formed by all kinds of things, and one of those ways that we're being formed is by our consumeristic habits.
So
you guys can be sure to check that out. The last thing I would say, just to those that are listening, is by way of encouragement, is we don't want to be aloof to the various contexts. So you might not be able to find a full 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't want you to hear this as some weight that is hung around your neck that you got to make this happen. I think a lot of the principles that these brothers have been sharing are things maybe you can find hours, segments of a day, but protect it, plan for it. But maybe it's, you know, three times a week, you can just find a 4-hour block where you can do these practices or have certain rhythms of rest. The point would be to the discipline of leaning into the gospel, enjoying communion with the Lord, mm-hmm. breaking from regular, you know, rhythms and patterns of productivity and mindsets of productivity, so that you can rest in the love of Christ for you and your lack of a need to gain that, mm-hmm. Sustain that, maintain that kind of thing. And so it's going to look different for a lot of different people, but we would say, as we walk with Jesus, one practice that we would commend to you is to find rhythms of Sabbath rest where you can just kind of be his children and walk with him. So Manny, Walter, thank you guys for coming and sharing from your experience and what the Lord taught you guys in the scriptures and through one another. And we hope that this serves the IDC family well. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
And IDC family, thank you so much. We will come back next week with another episode. Have a great day.